I have a wire here from Bundy, which I would like you to see this morning. It'll be a cable somewhere, and it really has six paragraphs. The second paragraph here, the substance is that the most important element in getting Lodge to assign Porter.
Yes.
Let me get this darn thing cut off. Is my urging him to do it.
Yes.
I would like to do that. My feeling would be that you or Rostow ought to write a wire to the two Vietnamese leaders and to Westmoreland, to the governor of Hawaii, and to Lodge, thanking him for participating and saying, I'm hopeful that what we did will develop into success for freedom and our contribution toward that end or something like that. Let's be very cautious and not predict that we're going to get out of there or win or anything, but let's just say we're hoping it, and we appreciate their contribution and their and the good work that they're doing, particularly Lodge in Westmoreland.
Yeah.
And in that connection, then, I would say that I feel that Porter has the unique qualifications and the confidence of the ambassador to act as the director of the non-military activity under him.
Yes.
And that if I could make him counterpart to the non-military counterpart to Westmoreland, I would like to see that done. And I see the ambassador sign him a responsibility along that line, and that that's a point he makes in 2 and 3, paragraph 4. He says that you say that there's some administrative rearrangements among other embassy officers.
Yes.
But that can be made here.
Yes.
So I'd like to see that after we hear from Lodge, that be done if he agrees.
All right, sir.
He says it will not be possible to resolve these until the Vice President's visit's over because the ambassador takes one problem at a time. I'll work on other related administrative problems. If you have reservations or questions about Porter's designation, there's still time to pull back. I gather that you don't have any and Russ doesn't have any, and that's what y'all want.
That's right. We all feel
okay, well, I just say flatly that I... In my wire, I'd respond to Bundy over my signature saying that here's what I'm saying to Lodge. Quote it to him and tell him that I do not have any reservations or questions. Just clear that up so he knows that he's free.
Yeah. All right, sir.
And tell him I do think it's real important that they check the Mansfield report paragraph by paragraph and let the Humphrey report bring us right up to date on it.
Which report, Mr. President?
The Humphrey report bring us right up to date.
Oh, yes.
In other words, Mansfield's got a no-win policy.
Yes, that's right.
And a gloom and doom and so forth. I don't really think that when you examine, I would wish that you would put the best lawyer, this Meekers, spending his time over here worrying about what's going to happen to the visa division. I wish that he'd get busy on something substantive like analyzing the testimony as a lawyer and making the basic points that Gavin made and that Keenan made, And they both seem to be unaware that we have a treaty at all, or that we have a resolution at all, or that we have a commitment at all. And they both would just rather not be troubled with Asia. And they'd just like to be content in Honolulu if somebody would leave them alone.
Yes, yes.
And I would like for Meeker or some real expert to prepare for me forthwith today or tomorrow at the minimum. First, I asked for it yesterday, the shifting positions on the loyal opposition.
Yes, Bill Bundy's doing that.
Then second, I want somebody to analyze the opposition testimony.
Yes.
And just take their whole thing and say, now here's what a lawyer would brief it as in a rejoinder. Here's what they have said.
Yes.
And take the toughest things they've said and say, now here is the answer to them.
Yes.
As we see it.
Yes.
And I would sure see that somebody follows these television things very, very carefully.
Yes.
I doubt that anybody with any political sensitivity in the State Department is doing that. Do you know?
I don't know that anybody is looking at the television. We're getting the
Well, it's very important to watch that and watch the hearing, watch the reaction to it and what the folks are doing and things like that. Church takes the position that we are a very dangerous position and that we've got to surrender. That's his position this morning on the Today Show, Frank Church.
Oh, he was on this.
Yeah, morning. And rather effective. They're doing a real job each day. Now, I don't think that when you analyze if they ever answered, I think it just go over like a puff of wind can blow them over. Everything that he said can be just answered in one sentence, is that we have a CETO treaty, and Senator, would you ignore it?
Yes, yes, yes.
And if so, how? What do you do about it?
Yes.
And what effect does it have on the world?
Yes.
And he acts like he never heard of it.
Yes.
I think it also, somebody ought to brief that CETO treaty for me. So let's get about three things for the president and get some staff officers busy doing that instead of interviewing the press. First thing I'd have them do is give me the shifting positions. The second thing I'd do is have them take the position of Gavin and the position of this guy and answer him.
Yes.
And the third thing I'd like them to do is brief the CETO treaty hearings, and particularly for any comments of members who are now members of that with quotes, and particularly people like Fulbright and Sparkman and folks who apparently were members of the committee at the time it was adopted. And along with that, I'd like to have a good brief of the resolution and what they said about the resolution. I would gather that we ought to get a brief that Rusk or somebody can put in the record on our legal position. And I think our legal position ought to be that the commander-in-chief has a right to respond when his forces are attacked, and that the commander-in-chief powers, we've taken that position all along. But then we got the treaty commitment, then we got the resolution specifically.
Yes.
And we ought to have that legal position ready to put in the record. But in developing that, I want to see what Fulbright said when CETO was up. I want to see if he ever asked a question or answered one. I want to see what questions he asked and what he answered and what he said on the floor of the Senate when the resolution was up.
We started work on that yesterday.
And I think that you ought to have the most astute politician you've got in the department watching this thing very, very carefully. They're out to destroy Rusk and destroy the department and destroy our position. And they're taking the position that they're doing is going to change the foreign policy of this country.
Certainly.
Now, I don't know how they're going to change this treaty or change this resolution, but Gore says that we are going over the president's head to the people, that the president has gone over the Senate's head to declare war without a declaration.
I saw him on that yesterday.
So we're going over the president's head, too.
Yes.
Now, that's what they're doing, and I think that that we've got to take a little time and develop this position. And at first, I think we've got to develop it pretty clearly in Rusk's statement. And before he goes, he's going to have to background people on what he's going to say.
Yes.
He's going to have to summarize what Keenan said and what Gavin said. Now,
yes.
This is the substance of what these two men have said.
Yes.
And here's the transcripts, if you want them, what they've said. Now, here's the answer to them, and let them have their stuff before they go up there. And when he goes in, he ought to give them copies of his statement so they can really write. And because, by and large, these writers up there are unfriendly to our position.
Yes, they are.
The infiltration in the networks and in the press on this is rather serious, I think, and I think it's more serious than any of us realize.
Yes, yes. Wonder about motives on some of this.
Yes, I think, no question, what the Soviet ambassador is having a parade of people come to see him, and he's done it pretty regularly, and he has been the author of a good many of these moves that they make, like the pause.
Oh yes, yes.
He started it. He started first with Fulbright, then he called in Mansfield, then he called in Morse.
Let me say though, Mr. President, Bob was pushing for it before, as far as I know, before Soviet ambassador.
Well, he wasn't, because I never heard him mention it. Bob, we had the first pause, but after that, the Fulbright started coming to me in early summer after he'd had a
yeah.
dinner with the Soviet ambassador.
Yeah.
And his theory was the Soviet could settle all of this, and that we had to get along with the Soviet, and we could get along with them if we just stopped bombing.
Yes.
And
yes.
the Soviet ambassador told him that.
Yes.
Then the Soviet ambassador had Mansfield, and he told him the same thing.
Yes.
Then they got through with Mansfield, he had Morse, and
yes.
Morse came in. Then he had Drew Pearson, and Drew Pearson came in.
Yes.
Then he's having Lippmann. Lippmann hadn't come in, but he sent word. Then he got down to where he got down to the lower level. He got Bundy. I don't know whether he ever got Bob or not. But anyway, they just went in a list. I listed seven of them yesterday that came to me and told me he had said this to them and they wanted to report it for the record.
I didn't know about all those earlier ones.
Yes, yes, sir. And it started with Fulbright. And he's seeing Fulbright again this week. He is a counsel at court on these things. And I don't think that he's doing this thing without anybody's knowledge. I think that he's deliberately confusing this situation.
Oh, he would never do this without Moscow's knowledge. No, certainly not.
And I think that they think the opposition to our system, that they're going to win this thing right here in Washington.
Yes, yes. I feel that very deeply, Mr. President, as I told you yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's what they're betting on.
Well, now, do you think we've got our first team out working on it?
I do, sir.
Well,
Dean got some of these assignments made yesterday. He was already working on this.
That's sure what I want done, huh?
I think that he's going to be well prepared to handle them, insofar as they can be handled.
What is the difference in the economic aid that we're recommending in South Vietnam this coming fiscal year and last year? A couple hundred million?
Well, it's about the... My recollection is that when you add the supplemental, it's about the same.
That same aid this year as last year?
Well, it's about $250 million more this year than the original bill, but I'm not sure what it works out when you add the supplemental to it.
I get that figure and let me know how much more it is this year than last year. And I just wonder, I really hope now that we'll set target date. I think in these wires that go out to Chu and Key and Lodge and Westmoreland, that we ought to express the hope that sometime in June we can meet in Honolulu again. I hope to have a review of our program, our war on disease, illiteracy, and agriculture production. Our war on social misery. I hope to have a report on our war on social misery in at Honolulu sometime in June. Not say that I'm inviting each of them, but just say that I hope to have the report. If I could get it from Lodge or Westmoreland, anybody. But let them know that we're kind of setting a time.
All right.
And that's the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah.
And that gives us February and March and April and May and June to get these things underway at least.
Yes. All right.
And get those cables over to me. Thank them. Now, did we get out all of our cables? I read one of those